Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. Now, these 18 verses are verses that God has really been working on my heart the last few years, trying to teach me about this freedom thing, about life in the Spirit. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Well, that's a way to start off a chapter, isn't it? There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. I just get all goosebumpy thinking about it. I'm just reading it. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weaknesses of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, for if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share in His suffering. Now, Romans is a book of the Bible that our Sunday school class is going through right now. Today we read Romans 10, and we're thinking, wow, that just, Romans 10 just covers the Bible right there. And Romans 8, this whole book that Paul writes, is just such an encouraging book. Starting off saying there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you. The message title today is something about freedom. Finding freedom. And freedom is a really awesome thing if you think about it, if you can grasp it and understand it. It's basically saying that when you are living in the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. When you are in Christ, there's freedom. And if you can accept in your heart that your worth and your identity comes from Christ, if you are in Christ, there is freedom. Now, I'm really excited about this message that God laid on my heart this week because it's really personal to me. Because freedom from bondage is something that's happened in my life about in these last couple years. God has really been teaching me freedom, especially in this last year. I feel that God has just freed my spirit from a lot of the bondage that I was in. Now, when we talk about freedom, what immediately comes to our minds? Slavery? Okay. When we talk about this freedom, freedom in the Spirit, I'll tell you what. First off, I've always looked at this and thought, well, yeah, freedom from death, freedom from hell, going to heaven. Everybody has a freedom that sticks out to them, and there's one freedom that sticks out to me more than any other freedom. Yes, I know. Freedom from hell, freedom from death, that is awesome. But when you're living in the Spirit every day, you can be in bondage by people. This speaks so dear to my heart because for I don't know, 26 years of my life, I was in bondage by people. It's only for the past year and a half or so that I feel like I've God has shown me how to get out of that bondage in Christ. And it's a bondage, it's about people's expectations. I see some smiles and some nods. Wow. It's easy for us to be in bondage with these things. People like to define us, don't they? Don't we start to, if we're not careful, we can be defined by what other people expect from us, right? And people's definition of who you are cannot stick to your heart if you have found yourself in Christ. And that's the truth. Romans 8:9 said, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And you're not controlled by your sinful nature. Now I want to talk about my sinful nature versus the nature of the Spirit and this type of freedom from people. My sinful nature wants to meet people's expectations of me. That's my sinful nature. It wants to meet people's expectations of me. I want to be liked. Don't we all want to be liked? I have found out through the course of my life that when I meet somebody's expectations, they like it. Has anybody ever got that feeling that you meet somebody's expectations, they have expectations for you, and you live up to it, and they're proud of you, and they feel good about you, and they like you, and doesn't that kind of make you feel good about yourself? It did for me for a long time. Now, there's something to be said about people-pleasing. Would anybody ever say that at any point in their life they've been a people-pleaser besides me? Let's be honest here. There's something to be said about people-pleasing. Now we can all agree that there is nothing wrong with doing things that people may find pleasing, right? There's nothing wrong with doing something that someone may find pleasing, but it becomes of my sinful nature and not the nature of the Spirit when I let the reaction of the people define what I do and why I do it. And that's kind of how I lived my whole life when I was young. I cleaned the house. Why? Because it met my mom's expectations. When I got married, I cleaned the house. Why? Because I thought it was going to meet my wife's expectations. It didn't. She had bigger expectations than me sweeping the floor. I'll be honest. I'll tell you the truth. I went to college based on expectations. I went into ministry. I started in ministry basically because of expectations. I studied music in school because people expected me to study music. I studied through that program for about 5 years because my heart wasn't in it. Classical music and all that. Jazz. Expectations. That was bondage. That wasn't really me. Now, we know that when we get a good reaction from someone, don't we usually feel pretty good? It makes me feel good when I get a good reaction from somebody and shaking her head. Brent's shaking his head. And just on the same side as that, if we let people down and we get a bad reaction, how do we feel about ourselves? Very easy to feel less about yourself. I disappointed such and such. I disappointed this person. And so it becomes our sinful nature to want to always please and never disappoint. Now, I said that there's freedom when you find yourself in Christ. And this area for me is especially tricky, people's expectations. And especially in the past 2 years, because as a pastor, well, let me ask you this. In your job, whose expectation do you need to meet above everybody else's? Who's the most important person to meet their expectations? Your boss, right? And if you're a farmer, it's your wife. Chuck and Ian, they know what I'm talking about. But it's your boss, right? If you don't meet your boss's expectations, what happens? You're going to get some demerits, some pay deductions. You're going to lose your job, and you're going to have to start looking for another job. So everybody knows what I'm talking about here. Now, from my perspective, whether they think they're my boss or not, I have like 60 people who think they're my boss. So I have many, many expectations. And whether or not you actually think that you're my boss or not, a lot of times actions show that. By what people say, like, well, you need to do this, or you should do this, and I'd really appreciate it if you know, if you did this, and I got a lot of guidance. We'll just say that. I get a lot of guidance for the Sunday morning worship service. Do you guys know that? I get guidance on the music. I especially get guidance on the time length. I get guidance right before, you know, I had to stand up here today to take the offering because certain ushers will start rubbing my hands while I'm trying to pray, thinking that I should have more joy in my prayers or something. I don't know. It gets me laughing. Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. I think we probably all have a good idea who that might be. But this area is tricky for me because of being a pastor. This is the first time in my life I've had a lot of people telling me what to do. Whereas before, I just had one boss to live up to. And it would seem that people all have expectations, but you know what? Everybody's different, right? So wouldn't it seem that everybody you meet is going to have a little bit different expectation for you? Especially when you get a big group of people who are very diverse and everybody's got different political views, different worship styles, different jobs, different cultures, different ways that they were brought up. That has a lot to do with it. You've got people who grew up in Bangor, Liberty. You've got people who grew up in Liberty, in Bangor. You probably don't have any people from West Plains left anymore, or Western Plains. But everybody's expectations, we know how they kind of butt heads, right? So what happens to me? My sinful nature tells me that it tells me to become what each person wants me to be. When I go visit you, to take on your views and to go along with this and to be able to really relate in this area because, yeah, I feel it too. And my sinful nature says, become what everybody wants and you'll become the greatest pastor to ever grace the stage here at Bangor Liberty Friends Church. Now, that's what my sinful nature says. I get a little laughs, and Veronica's like, you got a long way to go, buddy. But it's true, and it sounds a little bit off, but it's the truth, and that can be the way that we live our lives for people. When we think about what's their reaction going to be, how are they going to feel if I do this, if this conviction is my conviction, but I might tweak it a little bit just so that they're not uncomfortable or so that they don't have a poor thought of me. For too long, I let others and their expectations become my identity. Like I said, I went to college because other people became my identity. Other people told me what I was good at, and I said, oh, yeah, okay. I guess I will do that, and I did it, and it was bondage. And we can live in bondage every day if we don't live in the Spirit. But the Spirit of the Lord living in my soul says that my identity comes from one, Christ Jesus. Just one. And that's where freedom is. My identity doesn't come from people. Christ has to define my worth. Now here's what God taught to me through my wife a few months ago. And you guys remember that big sermon we had about love and action and doing things, and I was standing with Shauna in the kitchen, and she said, you know, there might be some confusion about that sermon because people are probably just going to start doing stuff. But here's what the true message of that sermon was about. My job is to do 100% of what one tells me to do, Christ Jesus. Your job is to do 100% of what God tells you to do. If God tells you to come paint, come paint. If God tells you, no, you need to be at home with your family, stay at home with your family. Is that going to ruffle some feathers if you don't come? It may. But the most important thing is that you listen to what God expects of you. And that is freedom. It's so much nicer to have one boss who is omniscient and loving and powerful, and he has the expectations for me that are going to lead me on the right path instead of following all these different people and zigzagging and running everywhere and not knowing who in the world I am, because everybody defines me a little bit differently. Now, this is what the Spirit wrote on my heart this past week. A little revelation for me. It says, when I have accepted the freedom of Christ, I understand that I have died to the world and all of its expectations of me. The world has a lot of expectations on us, doesn't it? Says, my God will be my judge in eternity, right? So I need to let him be my judge here on earth. And this is the little bit of revelation that God told me. He says, Nathan, when you die, you don't get to choose who judges you. I judge you when you die. But on earth, in this life, I do have a choice. I have a choice of who I let judge me. I can give control of my life to God, or I can give control of my life to the world. And who I give control of my life to right now, the world or the spirit, will greatly impact my judgment day and every day of my life. Do we understand that? That when you die, you don't get to choose who judges you and on whose merit system and on whose teachings you're going to be judged on whose truths? You don't get to choose. But we forget that because right now we do get to choose. You get to choose whether you want to live in the world or whether you want to live in the truth. Whether you want to live up to everybody who wants to try to define you in a certain way or just live up to one, Christ Jesus, who has the best definition of you. Of one God who is all-loving and all-powerful, full of grace and mercy. Wouldn't you want that expectation? Wouldn't you want to just live up to him? I want to read Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15. It says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." Now, unless we live in the Spirit and embrace this freedom from our sinful nature, we will continue to devour one another and put one another in bondage, won't we? In this church, you have a specific place in this body. It says that Christ Jesus has placed everybody in the body specifically. Your job is to not look left or right or try to meet this woman's expectations or this man's expectations. Your job is to say, God, do you want me to come to Wednesday nights? Then I'll come. God, do you want me to stay home and cultivate my family? Then I'll stay home. God, do you want me to be there Sunday morning? Do you need me to go someplace else? Do you want me to be at Sunday school? Do you want me to go to this college? Do you want me to watch after this person's children for them? What should I be doing? Because if you don't ask God, trust me, there's people who will tell you what you should be doing. But it's not what you should be doing. For us to function as a church the way God designed us to function, we have to have our freedom and our identity in him so that we can be secure in what he tells us to do and what our job is here at Bangor Liberty Friends in this part of the body. Now, we all face expectations and people who are ready and willing to define us. But wouldn't you rather be who God made you to be? Free. To live in his grace and mercy. You're worth defined not by each other, but by our all-powerful, omniscient Father who is love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with being in the world, it's really hard to ignore people's expectations, but we know that you have given us the truth and the answer that we need to live in the Spirit, because if we are in Christ, if we're in the Spirit of the Lord, then there is freedom there, freedom to do what you call us to do, what you ask us to do without fear and regardless of people's expectations and regardless of what people are going to say and think, because we know that in eternity, you are the one who is going to judge us by how you call us and by our response to that. We thank you, Father God, for your truths. We thank you so much for teaching us that we can be secure in our identities in you. And I pray that you would help us to do that this week. In your name we pray. Amen.